Governor Jay Inslee unveiled his $34 billion budget proposal this week. With details on that and other highlights from Olympia, we're joined by our Capitol correspondent, Austin Jenkins, Northwest News Network. Austin, thanks for joining us.
Good Friday to you, Ross.
So the governor was surrounded by school kids as he presented his budget. I wonder what he was trying to say there.
He was, and they were in bright T-shirts.
He's increasing revenue, and where's most of that revenue coming from anyway?
Well, about half of it comes from a proposal to extend a couple of tax increases that are about to expire. One is a B&O, business and occupation tax surcharge on many professional services. The other is a tax on beer by the gallon. He would not only extend these but make them permanent and expand the beer tax to include smaller or microbrewers, not just the big beer guys.
What are the early reviews from Republicans and fiscally conservative Democrats about extending these taxes?
Well, Governor Inslee talked a lot about closing so-called loopholes while on the campaign trail. He's continued and, in fact, stepped up that talk in recent weeks. So this really didn't come as any surprise. The details might have raised a few eyebrows or a few questions, but the response from Republicans in particular, not terribly surprising. Senator Mark Schessler, the Republican leader in the Senate, said it was a kick in the teeth to job creators. That was a direct quote. J.T. Wilcox from the House, a Republican businessman in his private life, said basically he feels like these tax loopholes, if you will, if they're closed, would disproportionately impact small businesses. And basically his argument was that the governor is articulating an argument that state government ought to be able to grow faster than the rate that the economy is growing.
Well, in previous years, Republicans have kind of sidelined when it comes to the action. But now, with a couple of Democrats, they're in charge of the state Senate. Is this budget dead on arrival in the state Senate because of these Republicans' stated opposition to any kind of taxes?
Well, it is probably more dead on arrival than if Democrats were in charge. That said, my observation here is that typically a governor's budget is really just a sort of viewed as a framework proposal. It's something to perhaps work with and pull from, but really the budget writing job happens in the legislature, and the legislators, the budget writers among them at least, really sort of own that process. They write budgets from the ground up. They don't just take the governor's version and tinker with it, in my experience. So to the extent that any governor's budget is alive or dead after they roll it out, I'm not sure this is that much different, partly because the Senate and the House have, I would imagine by now, already written their own budgets. They're just waiting to introduce them and unveil them themselves. But nonetheless, it sets a tone. It certainly lets people know where the governor stands. And you got to remember, at the end of the day, the governor has the veto pen.
There's an interesting political equation going on in the state Senate where they have this majority coalition giving the Republicans quite a bit of power, but it's only by one vote. And I understand there's some questions about one member of that caucus.
Right. Senator Mike Carroll, a longtime member of the chamber, has a blood-related illness, and apparently he's been in the hospital. He is scheduled, it sounds like, to get a bone marrow transplant, and he is not at the Capitol now. He is staying at home, trying to stay as healthy as possible. I mean, you can imagine the germ factory that this place is. You can probably hear it in my throat today. So this is not a good place for somebody in his condition to be. His caucus has indicated if he is needed urgently for a vote, he can get here. But it does present, you know, perhaps, I mean, this is a 25-vote majority. That's the number you need to pass something. You lose one member, it gets difficult. To the extent that there is someone willing on the Democratic side to be a proxy vote for him, or a tradition of not taking advantage of someone being out, being sick, we're going to have to wait to see kind of what happens when they return to the floor.
Yeah, I wonder if that will actually happen. Isn't there a Democratic senator who said they're not going to take advantage of Senator Carroll's illness, and he would vote the way that Carroll would vote in order to make sure that his absence does not make a difference?
Well, actually, I don't think that's happened yet.
Okay.
Senator Hargrove, who is, by as I understand it, close to Senator Carroll, has in the past, I think, voted as a proxy vote when Carroll was out before. He is not talking to me, at least. He's not conducting interviews. He's working on the budget, I guess, with Republicans and unwilling to discuss this. Is it possible that he would have that philosophy and be willing to do that? I think very likely. On all votes, I think, I don't know.
We'll find out. Austin Jenkins is with me. He's with the Northwest News Network, our Capitol reporter. Back to Governor Inslee's budget for a moment. He is putting money into K-12 education, which, but this, at the same time, he's carrying on this tradition of previous governors of not funding this voter-mandated cost of living increases in pay for teachers. How's that going down with the teachers union and their allies in Olympia?
You could imagine that the teachers union is not thrilled with that. They put out a very kind of lukewarm statement after the rollout of the budget, basically saying they appreciate his proposal. It's a step in the right direction, but very quickly said it doesn't go far enough. And they did say that they hope to work with the governor and the legislature on a final budget that does restore funding for that cost of living adjustment. Not to mention they're interested in other changes to the compensation system. I should just mention, though, that while it was voter approved and I think by large margins, it didn't come with a funding stream. And so it's been easy for both Democrats and Republicans to say this just isn't in the cards because it didn't come with any funding and it's not part of the constitutional mandate of what's considered to be basic education.
You had a chance to talk with Washington's new marijuana consultant, Mark Kleiman, a professor of public policy at UCLA. He also wrote the book Marijuana Legalization, What Everyone Needs to Know. Any hints in your conversation of how he might be advising the state to legalize the sale, processing, and retail sales of marijuana to adults?
Well, it was interesting to have the time to interview him because he's clearly not an evangelist for legalization, or if he is, he's keeping that close to the vest. He is very much cautioning that the revenues he doesn't think are going to roll in large volume. He thinks that the Office of Financial Management's projection during the campaign for 502 was the high side, pun intended. And so he's downplaying the revenue expectations. And he's also saying, look, if the state's going to make a lot of money doing this, the way the state's going to do that is by marketing to people who use a lot of pot. Mm-hmm. And he clearly thinks that that is morally questionable if the state's going to be basically making a buck off of the addicts, if you will. He also said that this may not be the ideal model. He would like to see more of a state-run liquor store approach rather than private retailers. That's not going to happen. And he noted that with the Fed still not, you know, still illegal federally, that this is sort of a quasi-experiment, but not the full deal. And he's basically saying it may work, it may not. This is a good opportunity, and Washington is sort of the right size state to do it. And he thinks the regulatory climate and the engagement, the serious engagement of the regulators themselves, it bodes well.
And Austin, I love to ask you every week about the goofiest proposal you've seen in Olympia this week. What qualifies?
I have two words for you, bull insemination, and they were not uttered this week. So it's the goofiest proposal that wasn't talked about. You may remember during the campaign, Governor Inslee talked about, was asked very often, well, you talk about closing tax loopholes, so which ones would you close? And he mentioned, at least on one occasion, one for bull insemination. Well, it wasn't on his list of the dozen that he proposes to close. I'm told from his staff there's no real story behind it, but apparently it didn't make the cut.
Austin Jenkins, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a nice weekend.
Austin Jenkins, Northwest News Network, Capitol correspondent.